Welcome to Trailblazing Bosses. This podcast will feature interviews with women entrepreneurs who are willing to share their journeys of trial and triumph to hopefully inspire and encourage our listeners to embark on their own path to entrepreneurship. My name is Miranda Atkins, and I will be your host.
Hello, hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Trailblazing Bosses. I am your host, Miranda Atkins, and let's get into it. So today, my guest is Jennifer McClain, and I have known this lady for a lot of years. Jenny and I have known each other since we were 14 years old. So we have talked through our dreams and hopes and all that good stuff with each other. Like literally, it seems like our whole life. So I am so glad to have you today, Jennifer. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let me just start if you want to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your business and what you're doing.
Okay, so as Miranda said, I'm Jennifer McClain. I'm CEO and founder of Mission Inspire. So that's Inspire with an E. And my company, we focus on coaching, primarily life and leadership coaching, facilitation, training, and consulting. And the whole goal of the company is really to support individuals and organizations in discovering their purpose and supporting them as they walk in their purpose. And so many entrepreneurs have their I help statement. So I will share my I help statement. I help professional women prioritize themselves so they can lead impactful lives without sacrificing their own personal growth.
Wow, that's a lot. Like, I never thought about an I help statement. That's actually pretty good to have because, you know, we start these businesses and we do all these things and we know what it is that we want to do. But I think having a statement like that is really impactful because everybody talks about like that 60 minute or 60 second elevator pitch. That's it right there. Like, I help women. So what are some of the things that, like, when a new client comes to you, like, what are some of the things that you go over with them to help them try to figure out? Or do they come to you with a plan and you kind of walk them through the steps to get it done?
Actually, both. Right. Okay. And so I always do a kind of like chemistry meeting because not everybody can work with everybody. And I want to make sure that the individual is comfortable with working with me. And I feel like I can support that individual. And so, you know, once we have that chemistry meeting, we decide that we want to work together. One of the things that I do is kind of send like an assessment, like a profile for them to tell me just a little bit about their goals. Sometimes people can, they know what they want to do. And sometimes people are like, no, I'm not really sure what I want to focus on. And so that's a part of that first kind of call to really understand what is the plan? What is the vision? Where do you want to be? Whether that be in a year, 5 years, 10 years, right? And then working backwards toward that plan. But then also recognizing that our time together, we're either going to work together either 6 months or 9 months. So what do we want to accomplish during that time together? And then the other thing I try to leave my clients with is when they, like that last session with me, that they have a plan for moving forward. Because sometimes it's not just about the plan, not about the goal. Like people can articulate goals, but then they don't have the plan to get them there, nor they don't think about how to hold themselves accountable so that they can achieve those goals. And so I kind of help my clients kind of have a plan in place so that they can continue to move forward without my support. Or, you know, they can always sign another contract to continue working with them.
Absolutely. So what made you, this is very interesting because obviously we do similar things, but in different genres and different industries or whatever. But what made you say like, hey, this is what I want to do. I want to strike out here and I want to start this company and help other women.
Let's go back a few years. And so I work for a national nonprofit organization. That's my day job. And a part of my job, we support organizations that are providing coaching to community members. And when we started this almost 20 years ago, coaching wasn't as prominent as it is today. It's not that people weren't coaching, it just wasn't the buzzword that it is today.
Right.
And we could talk about that because not everybody that say they're a coach is a coach, but that's a whole other conversation. But to make sure that our partners, their staff were actually doing coaching, we provide coaching trainings. And so in 2008, I sat in my first coaching training and I was like, huh, I could do this. This is something I could do. That was 2008. And, you know, over the years, I went through other coaching trainings, you know, as a part of my role, but I wasn't really coaching because that wasn't what I did day to day. Although I was coaching the partners, I would say that. And so in 2016, I was in a leadership development program and I was having a conversation with my executive coach and he was like, well, what brings you joy? What do you really like doing about the job that you do now? And so I was talking about primarily the human capital development. So really working with people to identify their career goals and then supporting them in creating a plan to achieve their career goals. That was what excited me, what I really liked. And so he was like, well, what if you did that full time? And I was like, well, as an entrepreneur, start a business. He was like, yeah. And I was like, yeah, no, not even interested. Let's go to the next question. What else we going to talk about today? Right. And so he cracked up laughing. He was like, I'm going to let that pass right there. But we coming back there. Right.
So that's right.
So it was like in maybe 2018, 2019. But let me step back a little bit. I also got training in trainer. So also, I was also delivering coaching training as well. So I got more versed in it because I was the person that was, you know, the coach's coach because I was delivering coaching training. And so probably about 2018, I started thinking, maybe I could do this as, you know, what they call a side hustle, right? And so in 2019, I tested out this coaching program with four women and they really enjoyed it. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna do this. And I have been coaching people here, there, not really for monetary. It was more of a, you know, I coach you.
Let me see if I can do this.
Else, right. And let me see if I can do this. Ask a couple of people if they would be willing to do that. And so then in 2019, I was like, okay, I'm gonna do this thing. And so I started thinking about a business name. And I was like, I had a colleague that had a business name that I really liked. And I was like, well, how did you come up with your business name? She was like, I thought about what I wanted to do and the impact that I wanted to have. And so her business name is Partners in Change. And I was like, cool, that's cool. And so I started playing around with words and different things like that. And so that's when Inspire came up. That's an acronym. And it means envision new solutions and possibilities that inspire results and empowerment. And so that's really what I want to do as I'm working with individuals. And so 2019 came up with the name, filled out the paperwork. And in 2020, this all happened in 2020. And then 2020, my first contract through my business name.
Nice. And it's funny that it took you. So, of course, I just told you guys that I've been knowing Jenny since we were 14 years old. So I know her personality outside of this. And she's always been like the person to help people. And she's always like so even keel and is willing to take a back seat to everybody else. And I don't know how I got dubbed her protector in high school or whatever. But it was funny because I was always the one that was like, rah, rah, rah. And she's like, man, just calm down. It's going to be okay. Don't do that. So it's funny that she's helping women in this space because I think it just fits her personality so well in wanting to, you know, just be that help to people and help people figure out stuff. And it's like, yeah, I'll help you and I'll just be like back here, you know, cheering you on. So that's kind of just been her personality. And it just shows that sometimes it takes us the long way around to get to things that we're actually supposed to be doing. And we've been doing them all along, but don't realize that we've been doing it all along. Cause I think that's been you all along. Like, yeah, everybody go, everybody be great. I want everybody to win. You know, that's always kind of been like your thing. And it's like, it's okay if I'm back here, but I'll help you. So, so share how like I just gave that story about like your personal stuff, but how have your personal values aligned with your business goals? Like, how did you say, what are some things that you practice in your business that are like, okay, this is what I feel like at home. This is like my personal values, and I want to instill this in people, or I want to make sure my business portrays this to people as well.
I mean, one of the things that I am that I believe about people is that creative people are creative, resourceful, whole, and capable, right? That is something I believe in, something that I uphold in my business. So when people come to me, I don't feel like they're broken. I don't feel like any of those things. I just support them in uncovering what it is they want to achieve, and then kind of be that mirror, because sometimes people don't know what they're believing or what they're saying. And so trying to, ask them the question, did you know that you say X, Y, and Z whenever you're talking about, A, right? And so that's one of the things that I believe and I try to uphold in my business. Of course, my business has values. So the values of my business are acceptance, uniqueness, integrity, excellence, and commitment. And those are all personal values that I have for myself. I would say the integrity one kind of stands out because of the work that I do in my day job. I'm trying to make sure that I hold integrity as it relates to business opportunities and making sure that there are not any lines crossed, more so than most people would do. I'm like extra about it. I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing that because it's too connected and I just don't want to have any issues down the road. I would rather not do it than do it, make a little money, and then we got some issues. So I try to walk in integrity. The other thing is just being a values-based leader. And so my leadership is all around the values that I hold, the values that I bring to whatever kind of situation that I'm in. And so yeah, I think that answers your question.
And it's funny that you say the integrity thing too, because I think about like, okay, y'all, so we were in high school, so don't judge us. But I remember one day we were trying to skip class, and we went to boarding school for high school. We went to the Pinewood School in Pinewood, Mississippi, one of the only historically black boarding schools left in the country. Had to get that shout out. But we go to boarding school, so obviously we live at school. So if we skip class, we skip class, right? But they know where we're at. Jenny and I lived in the same dorm, so we were like, oh, we're gonna say that we had a dorm meeting and that's why we didn't go to class. She says, well, y'all just go. I'm gonna go to class. Y'all go where y'all want to go. And I said, Jenny, we live in the same dorm. There's no way that they're gonna think that you didn't have to go to the same meeting. So all that to say, the integrity thing, I definitely can see that. She's been that way for forever. She's definitely somebody that I trust emphatically about everything. So that's kind of funny that you said that. So I had to throw that little story in there to let people know that definitely she's not just making that up for the podcast interview. She definitely lives that. So that's kind of funny. So do you use any like technology things? Like are there systems that you use in place or help, AI is like the new craze, and everybody's like, oh, AI, you got to use it to help your business. Is that something that you do in your business, or is it something that you help your clients integrate into their businesses?
So I probably don't use technology as much as I should. They're very beneficial. Actually, right now I'm looking for a software for my coaching business that will help track my meetings with people and everything, like kind of all encompassing. I haven't found that yet. So that's one technology thing I'm using that I'm looking for. As it relates to AI, I actually between ChatGPT and man, I always forget my other one that I use, Claude. I use those two kind of to help me with my limited social media posts more than I don't. But with my blog, kind of helping me think through titles, think through content and different things like that. So I do use it for support. It's only as good as the prompts that you put in it. So if you aren't prompting it well, then you're not going to get good information out. But I think the thing, what I try to do is like stay in these different in different entrepreneurship groups and hear from others about what technology tools they're using. And then based on their kind of feedback and things like that, I will try different things out. But I will say I'm not using it as much as I should, especially as an individual with a bachelor's in computer science.
I forgot about that. That's funny. You know what? It's crazy though, because I learned about ChatGPT. You know, I'm not in that technology world that much either. And it's funny because somebody told me about ChatGPT almost about a year ago. And I was like, what? It can do this? And I still haven't embraced it or used it. So that's something that I have to get better with too. I'm gonna go back to two things you said, but the first question that I had is, you said that the person told you should do this as an entrepreneur, and you were like, no way, I'm not doing that. And one of the things that I always say to people is that, and Jennifer and I have similar backgrounds growing up. We're both from Chicago. I'm from the west side of the city. She's from the south side of the city. I told you we went to high school together. I don't think, and I always tell people this, like, I don't remember being taught that we could have our own businesses. I remember people telling us to go to school, get good grades so that we could get a good job. And I think both of us kind of just followed that path and listened to it. So when somebody came to you with that idea of being an entrepreneur, it kind of goes over your head a little bit. And so I think that's one of my things, is like telling people, you know, it's possible. Like, so many people don't think it's possible. So what actually made you finally say, because, you know, you just said you went to school. I know you have several degrees. You got that good job and you did what everybody told you was supposed to do. So what made you say, let me take this leap from doing what everybody told me to do to now I'm going to be an entrepreneur?
A couple of things. One is having a couple of friends that were taking the entrepreneurship journey and hearing about what they were doing and different things like that. But then also, just as I'm thinking about my purpose and what it is I'm supposed to be doing on this earth. And while a portion of that is in my day job, I'm not doing everything that I should be doing, right? And so this gives me an opportunity to walk more in my purpose through my business. And so I will tell you, it was a struggle, because I have a circle of friends, and I told them that I was like, I don't think I can be an entrepreneur. This ain't for me. I'm not doing it. They was like, well, that's wrong with you? I was like, not everybody could be an entrepreneur. Maybe I'm one of those people and I'm fine with it. And they was like, girl, what's wrong with you? Because it was just, things were just taking, you know, a while. And it's not perfect now. Like, technically, this is my third year in business, and I'm not really making profit yet, but I know it's coming. And, you know, partly because I don't work as much in my business as I should be, because I have a full-time job and a family and different things like that. So I have to make time for the business. And that's one of the things I'm focused on for this year, is making time for it, in order for it to grow. And so I think it was just, you know, being around others, really getting in more, you know, I'm in one community that is entrepreneurial Christian women. And I joined that community. I didn't even have a business yet. I was like, I think I'm going to start a business, so let me get in this community. And so just listening, hearing other people's story and growth and different things like that kind of inspired me. And so that's what I did, like being around different groups of people where there are entrepreneurs. Because I think you're right. As we were growing up, it was like high school, college, get a job. That was it. Right. I don't even think at that time, I didn't even know any entrepreneurs. So nobody in my family had businesses or different things like that. So
Yeah. And it's crazy, because that, you know, it's funny. My friends will laugh. You know me. I'll open up this, I'll do that, do this stuff. And you would think, like, I had somebody, you know, tell me a while ago, oh, I thought you were like a trust fund baby, because we had the paint and sip and we had the gym and I was doing my travel business. And it was like, what? I was like, no, I wish I had a fund to trust in. Like, no, I'm just going out here on faith and trying to figure out this stuff. But I realized that when we opened, when me and Latanya opened Creative Sippin' in Chicago, it was crazy. We weren't able to like clean up at night because so many people were, talking to us after, like, oh my God, how did y'all start this? And shout out to Jenny. She was actually a first party that we had when I opened my business. So it pays. She just talked about her sister circle and how she had people who are friend circle who were encouraging her to go. And she has done that for me when I've started my businesses. So, you know, I tell people all the time, it's so important to surround yourself with those people that are going to support your dreams and help you get to what you don't, sometimes you don't even know that you're supposed to get there, but they like, yeah, go ahead and do that. So it's really good to have those type of people around. The yeah. other thing that I wanted to go back to before we run out of time is you said not everybody's a coach. I wanted to hear what your opinion is on that without throwing anybody under a bus.
So coaching is, as I said, people acknowledging that people are creative, resourceful, capable, and whole. That's one thing. As a coach, I don't give advice because I haven't lived your life. And so, which is unlike mentorship. And as a mentor, you're looking for advice, right? A coach is there to ask you powerful questions and active listening, and really just identifying what they hear you saying. And so, which is different from an advisor. An advisor is going to tell you what to do, or different from a consultant. A consultant, you identify, consultant is going to solve that problem. A coach, I'm not solving the problem. It's your problem. You're going to solve it. What I'm going to do is ask you questions that have you reflect and think deeply about what it is that you're trying to achieve. And okay. so a lot of people have that coach, like I'm a coach, but in some cases they're an advisor, they're a counselor. And there's nothing wrong with any of those modalities. But when I'm a coach, I try to be in a pure coaching mode.
Nice. And it's funny that you should say that, because you hear all these people saying, I'm a coach. I think that's like the buzzword is coach. And so everybody has kind of like tacked that onto their, you know, onto their title to make it seem like something, you know, that's the buzzword. So everybody wants to kind of do that. So that's interesting that you say that.
Can I say one other thing about that? Because a lot of times people will make the connection from a sports coach, and because they use the word coach, but in the sports world, that coach is the expert. That coach is telling people how to lay on, how to set up on the field, or you know, on the court, right? That is very different from the kind of life and leadership coach that I am. While I do give strategy, it's all strategy based in that particular client situation. And I'm not going to tell them what play to run. I'm going to ask them questions so that they know what play to run.
Gotcha. I think it was good. I wanted to go back to that question about not everybody being a coach. And I guess, too, I know it's kind of hard to figure out. I know you said at the beginning that you kind of do an assessment with your clients to make sure that there's a fit. And I guess that's pretty good. Like, it's funny because I see a lot of people saying coaches, and I know when I was talking to, I have a person that does a lot of my PR and, well, all of my PR, let me not say some of it, she does it all. But it was funny because she said this was going to be super easy to market, because I was actually doing the work that I was trying to help people do. There's so many people out there that don't do, like I'm still actively selling travel and helping other people, you know, start their own travel business and get into the travel industry. You're actually helping people. I mean, through your day job, you talked about how you have that. And then, you know, just now that you've set up your coaching program and all that other kind of stuff. So it helps somebody, I think, try to align with us a little bit better and can work with us better, because you have so many people out here. I know in the travel industry, it's so many people that post this stuff, and I'm looking at them and I can just see, like, you're not selling no travel, but you got these people out here thinking that you're doing all this stuff, and it kind of, you know, creates the facade. So it kind of muddies the waters a lot. So that's why I wanted to go back to that. Like, everybody that says they're not a coach is not a coach. And again, not, you know, I'm not, it's not, that's not a hater statement at all. I want everybody to get Get their coins, get your money the best way that you can legally and without hurting people. But I think that it's a lot of confusion out here sometimes with people, and especially when you're working with people who aren't actually doing what they say they're coaching somebody on. Like you said people liking it to the coach on the field. That coach has usually played that sport or been around that sport so long so that they can tell you. But then you got these people, like I know in the travel industry, they take one trip that was successful and now, oh girl, I can tell you how to do that. And it's like, it's so much more to that. You mentioned, one of the big things that you mentioned at the beginning, you said you got your paperwork in order and you filed all that stuff first. And that's such an important step that a lot of people miss out on, because it's like, oh, I'm just gonna take this client and I'm gonna start working. And it's like, no, you got some legal stuff you need to do to protect yourself, protect the people that you're trying to help, and all that kind of stuff. So last question before we leave, you talked about needing to work on your business more. I think that's something, even if you were doing this full time, like I think that's something that we all talk about. Like we need to work more, we need to do more. How do you balance that? What are your struggles with balancing that now, since you said you need to do more? Like how do you find that time, or what's your plan for finding that time?
So the plan that I had at the beginning of the year that I'm not following through on, that I should go back to, was like having dedicated office hours. And so, but I'm trying to figure out how I can do more in the morning as opposed to in the evening. 'Cause those, I'll say like Monday, Tuesday, Thursday from like 5 to 7, I work on my business. But what happens is if I've had a particularly long day that's draining, when it gets to be 5 o'clock, I don't want to continue working, whether it's my day job or my business, right? And so I'm trying to figure out how I can adjust my schedule a bit, at least do a couple mornings a week where I work, even if it's just an hour on my business. I think I can move a little bit farther, because by the time the end of the day comes, although I'm a night person, by the time the end of the day comes, I just don't want to do anything else. And so one of the things that I have committed, although I fell off a little bit this last month, is I started a blog last April. At the end of this month, I will have been blogging for a year. And so that's been a commitment. So I try to post every week. And so that means that I have to give myself time. Generally, Sundays is when I'm looking at my content for that week. I'm trying to get it batched and do the whole month. But I haven't got there yet. But I'm gonna get there. I'm gonna get there. Plus, I need to start posting more on social media so more people know I have a business and different. I've posted like one or two times, and then when I post again, people are like, "Oh, I didn't know you had a business," because everybody ain't gonna see the first post that you do. So that's one of the things I need to up my social media game.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing for everybody. Like people don't realize, the importance of posting and just spreading the word. Like I remember somebody was like, you got to start telling people what you do. Otherwise, it's kind of like you're a secret agent. Like you back here doing all this work, but you haven't told anybody, that you're doing the work. So that leads me into my final question. I was just gonna ask you, how do people find you? Like, where's this blog that you were talking about? Social media handles, all that good stuff that you want people know how to find you.
So the place that I hang out the most is on LinkedIn. And so you can find me by searching Jennifer D. McClain. You can access my by going to tinyurl.com/JenMCBlog. So JenMC BLOG. That is how people can connect with me. I'm also on Facebook as Jennifer McClain, but I don't post as much on
Okay. Yeah, she don't post. She goes on there to scroll, and then she called me and say, "Did you see?"
I sure do. I sure do.
You see? So yeah. So Jennifer, thank you so much for joining us today. As always, it's such a delight to talk to you. We could go on for hours, as we sometimes do on the phone, especially when we're talking about our businesses and things that we're involved in. Jennifer has also done, she did not mention this, but she's also done like several conferences where she's been speakers and was highlighted. So she's definitely out there in the marketplace. So definitely go out on LinkedIn and connect with her. and take a look at her blog when you get a chance. So thank you so much for joining us today on Trailblazing Bosses, and everybody, we'll see you next time. Thank you so much.